again, as you, I think you said it right now, especially when it comes to the Texans, to the big hottest things, the Rockets right now, what they're doing, and then this OC search right now for the Texans, because I think it answers a lot of questions. Is it going to be a brand new system? Is it going to be the same? What kind of guy are they going to have? And to me, Clint, I know right now you have been, I would say the word, disappointed, if not maybe worse than that, but at least disappointed in the names that you've seen thus far to be hired, to be interviewed right now. I would say at least disappointed.
Yeah, look, here's the deal. I'm disappointed in the lack of a plan. Like, I don't, it doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to what they're doing at this point in time, right? It's guys that, the majority of the guys have had very little to no, like, true, full autonomy. This is my offense and this is what I'm running. And guys seem to be all over the map in terms of what kind of offense they're bringing to the table. You know, there's Gerard Johnson and Bill Lazor who are in the building, which is, man, is that are they trying to keep the continuity together, keep all that together? And there's several guys that are outside the building. There's some guys that are in the same system from a terminology standpoint, from the different teams in the league that are running the same system. There's some guys that are outside of the system. I don't know. It seems like, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know that there's a whole hell of a lot of guys available that would really blow my skirt up, if I'm being completely honest. So, it's more what scares me in these situations is you fire somebody that, yes, you can justify firing them. Understand that. But you could also justify keeping them. I firmly believe that about Bobby Sloak. Like, if they went another year. Now, you got some of the loudest critics would be disappointed. But I think overall it would have been like, all right, Bobby, you got to put up or shut up. You better move that offensive line coach, get him up out of here. You better make some adjustments. But you could have put together a case to justify keeping the guy as well. So you move on from him. Cool. The fear is you move on from somebody and find out there's not a replacement. Find out that you're back into the inexperienced, not real sure what we're getting pool of candidates. That's the part for me that is more of the risk here.
And as I've said, you know, maybe this is the plan and they full well have a plan and this is a part of it. I know you'd seem it would be like, ooh, you feel like they may have had a name and had somebody lined up and bam, you know, much like the Lions did, they would have this boom, 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 we got our guys and they'll be right in.
Well, it's like with Detroit. Like they knew they had a guy in house. They've known for years that Ben was going to, for a couple years now, that Ben was going to eventually leave.
And Aaron.
They had a guy in house. Yeah, and Aaron. And they had a guy in house. Boom. Right there. It's my guy right here. Let's go. Hank Fraley's the guy. Let's move on. I just like, to me, that exudes confidence from the organization. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if Hank's worth a damn. But Dan Campbell damn sure believes he is. This here is like, we may like this guy, but we're going to go flirt and go date all these others until we make a decision. That doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me personally.
Yeah. I want to throw this name out because obviously there are other teams that are looking. And I'm just in comparison, as you said, probably not a lot of candidates that would really get you going, but clearly these guys haven't thus far. And look, the Cowboys are interviewing Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey, who was with Buffalo, and had some good go with Josh Allen, and then obviously they let him go and went with Joe Brady midseason. He was with Cleveland, and in the Watson situation had some okay moments with Jameis, but you know Jameis going Jameis every once in a while. But he does have experience, and I wouldn't love it, you know, necessarily be like, oh, this is it, but him compared to the other guys, like is that more of the route you would be more comfortable with than because, like as you said, who would be excited about a Nick Caley? Is that more of the route that you would like? Hey, somebody that at least has experience calling plays.
Yeah, I don't know. Ken Dorsey. Look, no, the answer is no. I mean, Ken Dorsey called plays for less time than Brian Johnson did. I mean, Ken Dorsey called plays. When did they move on to Joe Brady? What week was that?
I feel like Ken had a year, didn't he?
No, he was only the offense coordinator for 1 year, and it had to be the year that he got canned before he went to.
I thought he was a coordinator when Daboll left,
and Daboll's been there 2 years.
And then he got fired in the middle of last year. Anyway, he's not been a coordinator for long stretch.
Right. In either way it goes, you may be right on that. Either way it goes, I don't know that that's not the pelts on the wall. I've got an identity. I know exactly what I'm doing offensively, start to, you know, top to bottom. I'm going to build my staff. No, that he doesn't fit that bill for me, and that's what would ultimately make me the most comfortable.
I don't love that either. But I mean, there is a thought already. Is a thing that you would like to see, is somebody that's got some experience doing that. Would you rather feel like the young guy that maybe there's some upside, or at least the guy that you know has had experience calling?
You are right. It was 22 and 23 when he was the offensive coordinator in Buffalo. So it was half of 23, and the first year it was all him. You are correct.
And first year it was good. Listen, you said there's no candidates that kind of get you excited. I think the one that we've heard for you and many people is Chip Kelly. That's the one that I think people have gotten excited about. And I would just say this, to me, I think the Chip Kelly thing is over. I would probably, if that's your dream, if that's your hope, I've seen some people text in Chip Kelly or nobody else. I think you might want to come off of that. Especially now we're starting to see the candidates. Like, we're starting to see the guys that they're bringing in. Like, there's nobody that Brian Johnson's the first person they've brought in that has NFL, him and Bill Lazor, NFL play calling experience. Yeah, Everyone, college quarterback coaches, their own quarterback coach. To me, I don't think Chip Kelly and his vibe and his get down matches with the two people it needs to match with, D'Amico and CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
I think that's why the Chip Kelly thing is out. I am just putting what I'm putting together, especially from what we've seen over the last 2 years with D'Amico and what we were seeing in terms of the candidates. I don't get the sense that D'Amico is ready to bring somebody in and just say, I'm just going to hold on this defense, and I'm going to just hold on to some of the overall, you know, head coaching duties, and you have that offense. I think he is going to be somebody that's going to be more involved than that.
Well, I mean, they're definitely at a fork in the road. The Texans are at a fork in the road, in a sense of what direction D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio want to take moving forward with their offensive minds, right? I mean, do you want to hire a guy within where you ultimately pick his staff? Even if we say you just influence his staff, do you want to pick a guy from within, either in the building or within this system, and bring them in and let them cut their teeth? And again, D'Amico or Nick and everybody else is involved, and where it's an open door policy and it's a collaborative effort? Or do you want to bring somebody in and hand them the reins of the Houston Texans offense and say, hire your staff, install your playbook, install your offense. Handle the offense, the guys, the way that you want to handle the guys from a coaching perspective. The way that you would with Chip Kelly, the way that the Washington Commanders did with Cliff Kingsbury. The way that Philly did with Kellen Moore. These really good offensive minds that are coming in with either a definite CEO coach or a defensive-minded head coach, and the reins are all theirs. Do you feel like you're at that fork in the road? Which direction are you going to go? I think that's where the Texans are at. We'll see which direction. It looks like they are much more interested in going the route of, come on in and be a piece of what we're doing here, and let's have a collaborative effort, then, hey, man, this is your show.
And I'm not saying that's the wrong way to do it. Hell, D'Amico and everybody in there obviously know
right.
their guys and work with them every single day and have an understanding of it. I'm just simply saying, for those of you if Chip Kelly was the one that got you excited, and I could completely see why it is, he would be the one that got you excited. He's had issues with, you know, some former players, you know, not, you know, there are several former players in his time in the NFL who are not fans of his. And I do think that D'Amico leans more to a player's coach. And I think that's kind of how Absolutely. They run things more as a player's coach. Now, some coaches like the, all right, I'm a player's coach, but I'm going to have that one dude that plays bad cop, and I'm going to walk away. And there's some, and then there's some that are like, no, man, these are the vibes I want, and these are the vibes I want, and he knows his quarterback. And maybe there's a thought of this is how and what is best for my quarterback and how he maneuvers through things. So to me, that's why I would just say the Chip Kelly thing, it's a reason why he hasn't gotten an interview yet. And maybe I'll be surprised, and I'll be the first one to come on and say, okay, hey, they decided to interview him. It's weird that they waited till Friday, but they decided to interview him. But
I mean, right, here's another interesting thing about the Texans and this offensive coordinator hire is the one thing that I experienced in the league is you've got coaches that are, you know, very very strategic and very intentional about, I'm going to keep every player, including the quarterback, at an arm length's distance. The thought of, like, I may have to cut these dudes and change their life forever, and I don't want to be their friends when I do it. The thought that I gotta discipline these guys. I can't ever let these guys get comfortable with me. Like Parcells was that way. Parcells was a keep everybody at distance, with the exception of a couple of guys when I was there. And he wasn't. I mean, it was literally like out of pocket a-hole all the time. He didn't want anybody to ever get comfortable, kind of deal. Yeah. And then I also experienced coaches that really ultimately had no business being a head coach in the league, and it was almost like intimidated by the Troy Aikmans and Emmitt Smiths of the world, right? I don't think I ever experienced the relationship that we see here in Houston, where D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud are locked at the hip, man. When you come in here as an offensive coordinator, that's not going to change. You're just going to have to realize that the head coach of this football team and the quarterback of this football team has a unique relationship. Like, I would be very interested to see, and I don't know because I don't cover these other teams, but I would be very interested to see how many coaches around the league, call them what you want, players, coaches, whatever. I'm not talking about that. I mean, there's a lot of players, coaches. But I'm talking about where there's a different, super unique, super close, super supportive relationship between the head coach and the quarterback like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And to a point where, as you said, it's so tight that it jumps over you and you got to navigate through that.
Well, it's like, usually there's a pecking order, right? The quarterback talks to the quarterback coach and the quarterback will meet with on a daily basis the OC. They all kind of collaborate ideally, and then you go from there, where it seems to me like a lot of this is going to pass, whether it directly or indirectly, is going to pass through D'Amico Ryans because of how close C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans actually are. It may be a beautiful thing. I don't know. All I'm saying is that relationship and how close those two guys are, and almost how D'Amico has, again, anointed him as the leader and as the spokesperson, as this guy and as that guy. Like, that's a unique situation here in Houston.
And it's different that it's like D'Amico and CJ as the defensive coordinator as opposed to Andy and Mahomes.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, because you got to work so closely with the guy. And, ooh, I mean,
yeah. You're working so closely with it.